Chapter 5, from The purpose of this chapter is to provide an interested learner looking to become an effective stock investor with a theoretical and practical path while also motivating them to embark on this journey. While it's true that TDX can save up to 95% or more of this journey, it's also beneficial for readers to have a path they can navigate individually if they choose to do so. In this chapter, I intend to show you an effective route, doing so with appreciation and a desire to help society achieve its financial goals and, in turn, assist others after achieving their own goals. Information and knowledge are crucial to transcend mental boundaries and gain a deeper understanding of life, our society, and the world in general. In this regard, I am pleased to congratulate you on deciding to learn more about investments and money management, a vital topic that I believe should be known by everyone. It's a secret ingredient for making a person's life change, transcend, and contribute new ideas to society. It's the visa that gives us free passage to go beyond the borders we have set in our minds, allowing us to discover new, unimagined worlds and giving us a better understanding of life, our society, and humanity's journey on this beautiful planet Earth. While there is a select group of people who understand aspects related to stock investments, the truth is that the world of investments is not well known to the general public in different cities and countries worldwide. However, there is enormous interest in learning more about this market. Many people tend to think that the world of finance is complex because they imagine lots of numbers and formulas, but in reality, it's an exciting field full of opportunities. Therefore, it's important for individuals from various professions and occupations to have a good understanding of finance and the capital market, since we live in a world where everything is bought and sold with money. For this reason, financial education is necessary so that people can manage, handle, use, and invest their money better. This part of the book aims to help you improve the way you manage and invest your money to achieve your financial goals. Tools will be provided to help you multiply your money genuinely, legally, transparently. In some sections, you will be motivated to believe in yourself in this process, so you realize that you are closer to achieving what you set out to do. By the end of this part of the book, you will realize that you have the necessary tools to achieve what you want in the financial field, to manage and invest your money better. The importance of managing money. A significant part of your future depends on how you feed your mind every day. We live in a consumer society where we are constantly bombarded with visual and auditory information. Surprisingly, we spend more than 18 hours a day processing information, from the moment we wake up until we go to sleep. It's essential to understand that our daily behaviors and attitudes result from our mental diet. Our minds feed on what we read, see, and hear. Based on this nourishment, our actions are manifested, both voluntarily and often involuntarily. In other words, our minds are programmed by what they feed on, and our actions manifest according to that programming. Have you ever wondered why, whenever you go shopping, you end up spending more money than budgeted, or why you spend more money on entertainment than you intended? This is because our minds are programmed to consume, and our actions are manifestations of this programming. Therefore, it's important to consider the importance of managing our money to generate a more prosperous life. By feeding our minds with positive thoughts and actions, we can manifest a future with a high quality of life. Money management is essential for achieving financial prosperity, and it's necessary to develop the right mindset to achieve this prosperity. It's crucial to pay attention to our expenses and savings, set clear financial goals, but it's also important to learn to manage our emotions and maintain a positive mindset to make appropriate decisions and achieve our long-term financial objectives. This will allow us to have a stable and secure financial future, achieve our goals, and have the peace of mind that we are prepared to face any situation. Money. The modern economy, as it serves as a means of exchange for acquiring goods and services. However, money also has additional characteristics that make it valuable, such as its ability to increase in value over time. For example, if you have saved money, and a friend asks to borrow it for 30 days, they will likely offer to pay interest on the loan. This interest represents compensation for the risk factor and the opportunity cost of not using your money during that time. Additionally, this situation illustrates how money can generate more money through investment. Investment involves using money to acquire assets or services that will produce an additional benefit. For instance, purchasing a property and renting it out can allow you to recover the initial investment and generate additional income. This is just one example of how money can make more money. There are many other ways to achieve this, such as buying stocks, bonds, investing in business projects, and more. Furthermore, managing money correctly is essential to benefit both oneself and others. Therefore, it's crucial to make wise decisions regarding the use of money, understanding that money has the potential to generate more money. It's important to be conscious of how and where every penny is used, considering basic needs, family, education, leisure, and more. as well as thinking about how to earn more money and exponentially improve our financial situation. It's worth mentioning that knowledge is key to making good investments. Understanding how the financial system works, market trends, different types of investments, as well as their risks and benefits, is essential. Money is an essential tool in the modern economy, but its value goes beyond being a medium of exchange. Its ability to generate more money through stock market investment is a great power that you can wield, and it's within your control. Stocks and the stock market. We've now arrived at one of the most interesting points we'll delve into in detail. In this chapter, you will learn what a stock is, how the stock market operates, and what a stock exchange is. You may have many diverse ideas about this market, perhaps ideas that have entered your mind through international news, comments from others, friends, or simply from hearing about stocks in a movie where sophisticated people discussed investments, and although the topic seemed interesting to you, you didn't understand much. All you understood is that it was related to making money. You might have the notion that topics related to stocks and the stock market involve high risk or generous profits. Well, we are going to clarify what is true and what is not true in the stock market. What is a stock? A stock represents ownership in a company. Stocks are traded in a place called a stock exchange. This place is the commercial venue where stocks of different companies are traded. Stock exchanges exist to ensure fair transparency in stock prices, and it's where there will always be participants interested in buying or selling stocks. Consider, for a moment, how many times you business. If you thought about this, it's because you want to earn more money and become financially independent. Starting a business involves investing a significant amount of money and assuming the risk that the business may or may not succeed. However, you are willing to take on this new role because you expect to achieve excellent profits. Investing in stocks might seem similar, however, it's much easier and comes with significant advantages. When you invest in stocks, you are investing in well-established companies with established and growing markets. These companies are managed by expert professionals with master's degrees, specializations, and doctorates from the world's top universities. When you invest in stocks, you don't have to deal with employees, internal company issues, or situations. Instead, you are a shareholder, and your only concern is to see the results that the company's executives deliver to you every quarter, which translate into profits and dividends in your pocket. The most relevant reasons for investing in stocks are the profits that the company provides each year and the potential appreciation of the company over time. The former helps you generate income year after year, while the latter gives you the opportunity to sell your stake in the company for a higher price than you paid in the future. The easiest way to illustrate this is by assuming a company consisting of a single share, meaning a single owner who owns 100% of the company. Suppose the company is a restaurant, such as McDonald's. McDonald's started as a hamburger restaurant, and the restaurant is 100% owned by you, meaning you are the only shareholder, you have the sole share of the company, and you receive 100% of the profits. If there were two partners, you would own 50%. There would be two shareholders, meaning two shares of the company, and you would receive 50% of the profits. If there were four partners, you would own 25%. There would be four shareholders, meaning four shares of the company, and you would receive 25% of the profits each year. If there were 2,000 partners, the operation would work on the same scheme, and so on. The shares of this company can be bought and sold on a stock exchange. Assuming that a current shareholder of the company needs capital or believes that their share is priced at a good price at which they are willing to sell, they would offer it for sale on the stock exchange, where another potential buyer would purchase this share and become a shareholder in the company through that participation. Now that you are a shareholder, let's see how the value of your share can change over time. In this example, as the sole partner, you set up your restaurant, and it costs you $200 million. In other words, the value of your share is $200 million. Now, suppose you've been in business for 4 years, and the business has given you good results, $50 million per year, meaning you've recovered your investment in 4 years. In the coming years, this profit will be added each year, and if profits improve, don't you think the value of this company has appreciated? I believe so because at the very least, you wouldn't sell it for the same $200 million you invested, it would be worth much more. The value of your share is no longer $200 million, but $416 million, 50 millimeters, 12% equals 416 millimeters. Your share has appreciated by 218%. This is a very simple valuation example. In Chapter 4, we will explore the fair value of assets or goods, and there we will see the essence of valuing a company correctly in determining when a stock is overvalued or undervalued. The factors that will raise or lower the value of the stock will be the profits or business projection, the valuation rate or discount rate, and the interest in buying or selling the stock, supply and demand. There are stocks of hundreds of companies, and you can invest in any of them without any problems. Examples include Coca-Cola, Sony, Ford, Gillette. There are hundreds of stocks, it's just a matter of analyzing them and investing. Investment profiles: achieve millionaire results in the short term by investing in stocks. However, it all depends on each investor's risk profile. A risk profile is the characteristic that an investor adopts when entering the market. These characteristics determine a different investment style for each profile. Investor risk profiles can be: conservative profile, invests money that they have left over or saved, invests relatively small amounts periodically, has a long-term time horizon, 5 years. Moderate profile, invests significant sums of money in stocks, but their primary job and source of income are generally in another sector, keeps an eye on market opportunities, at least 10% of their income comes from stock investments as they are active participants. Their investment horizon is medium term, 1 to 2 years. Aggressive speculator profile, invests large sums of money in stocks, manages an optimal leverage or credit ratio to take advantage of opportunities in the stock market with borrowed money, maximizing potential returns. More than 50% of their income comes from stock investments. Their investment horizon is short-term, 1 day to 6 months. It's important to note that all these investment profiles can be profitable. The difference lies in the investment time and the assumed risk. The aggressive profile can be very profitable in the short term as it uses both their own and borrowed money to invest, potentially maximizing profits. However, the level of risk is the highest because not only their own money but also borrowed money is at stake. The profitability of this profile is very high but fluctuates daily. It's important to point out that speculative activity is not irresponsible. There are basic rules to follow to be an excellent speculator. It's a job that requires 100% dedication, and consequently, the benefits of a speculator are substantial. This type of profile is not for everyone, it requires discipline and following rules. The moderate profile is attractive as it offers high returns in the medium term but requires constant attention to the market and an interest in trading. The risk is not very high because it is assumed that the invested money is one's own and does not affect the family's assets. On the other hand, the conservative profile is suitable for those seeking high returns without the need to invest large sums of money. This profile has a high probability of generating good profits but requires patience and consistency to achieve success. What is the stock market? I want to explain some history about how stock exchanges began in the world, especially stock exchanges where stocks are traded. I'm sure that in the country where you are, there is a stock exchange where you can buy shares of the most important companies in your country. However, that doesn't prevent you from buying shares of other companies worldwide. A stock exchange is a market, and its beginnings were like a marketplace. Although it may sound a bit strange, that's how it was. Stock exchanges evolved over the years. Some similarities to stock exchanges have their origins. Hundreds of years before Christ in Asia, they were commercial places where agricultural products were brought for buyers and sellers to agree on a fair price. Today, it's something different. The world's first stock exchange was created in 1608 in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, driven by the movement and interest in buying and selling shares of the Dutch East India Company, a government-backed maritime transport company owned by everyone from artisans, merchants, servants, to wealthy families in Amsterdam. Today, the New York Stock Exchange is the largest stock exchange in the world. Wall Street, which translates to the Wall Street in Spanish, is located in New York, United States. It was called Wall Street when in 1652 the Dutch erected an earth and wood wall at this location to protect themselves from an attack by Native Americans or the British. By the late 18th century, stockbrokers conducted their operations on the street under a tree known as the buttonwood. Stockbrokers used to gather in the same place on Wall Street every day to offer business opportunities in companies seeking capital or to assist owners looking for financing. After becoming a common practice and seeing business grow, 24 brokers decided on May 17, 1792, to sign the Buttonwood Agreement, where they established the rules and conditions for a stable stock market. How a stock yields returns and how to make profits. Stocks change in price over time. This change in prices over time involves a percentage variation. It is this percentage variation that will define the profitability I have had in the stock market. For example, it's normal for a stock to vary by 5% positively or negatively in a day. Assuming you could make 5% in your favor every day, this would represent a return of 150% in a month and 1,800% in a year. This assumes that you always earn that 5% daily, which would be an ideal scenario since stock prices fluctuate up and down on a percentage basis daily. it's also normal for a stock to vary by more than 2,000% in 4 years if the company has performed exceptionally well. It's also normal for a stock to lose more than 80% of its value in 3 years if the company has performed poorly. Positive percentage variations are what will allow our money to earn more and more money. The important thing is to determine an action plan to be as profitable as possible in the stock market and take advantage of those percentage price variations in our favor. Taking into account Benjamin Investment is an operation in which, through a thorough analysis, offers security and an adequate return. When I refer to a return, I'm talking about income received from the company's profits each year. Basically, I'm investing when I feel secure due to the analysis performed on the company, that I'm buying at the right price, and that the attractiveness of the company in terms of profit generation will not only sustain the stock price, but also help the company appreciate. In an investment, I use only my own capital and manage the profits I earn year by year from dividends. On the other hand, speculation is different and is based on short-term price variation expectations, considering buying and selling operations from one day to the next or within the same day with the aim of obtaining a small percentage variation. However, as a daily percentage variation generally does not exceed 5%, a significant amount of money is not obtained if one uses their own capital. Therefore, speculators prefer to borrow money from one day to the next and obtain that 5% on a larger amount of invested money, which can generate high daily income but with high risk. Speculators often engage in leveraged operations, working with large sums of money that do not belong to them and only using it to make a good profit. An example is investing $500, borrowing 10 times that amount, $5,000, and getting a 5% percentage variation in a stock, which means earning $250. However, if the operation is negative, the same amount is lost, and it can end up losing 100% of the capital. Speculative operations entail high risk but also offer high short-term returns. A person who speculates must be non-emotional, disciplined, have a clear plan for buying and selling, and know how much to risk and how much they expect to gain. In contrast, an investor can make as much or more money than a speculator since long-term percentage variations are higher, and they can use a monthly investment plan to grow their net worth. However, patience is important. My personal advice is to invest as it offers better long-term results with less risk if you are patient. Where and how to invest. Next, we will see a diagram that will help us understand the process of where and how to invest. Stock exchanges are made up of several stock brokerage firms. These firms own the stock exchange. In the diagram, each small circle represents a stock brokerage firm. The general public can only invest in the stock exchange through a stock brokerage firm. These firms allow the investor to buy or sell in the stock market. If you're going to invest in the stock market for the first time, the first step is to determine which stock exchange you're going to invest in. Today, I recommend going directly to the New York Stock Exchange, regardless of your country of origin, as this will not only protect your assets in dollars, but also allow you to take advantage of great opportunities with more company options. Once you have a broad overview of the different stock brokerage firms, you should choose one of them to conduct your buying and selling of stocks. My recommendation is to do it through the firm where you feel you receive the best service. The stock brokerage firm will ask you to fill out a form similar to when you open a savings account, but this form will have specifications related to stock investments. When an investor has experience in investments, a stock brokerage firm, at the request of the investor, can provide them with software through which the investor can buy or sell stocks from their mobile phone or computer without the need for a stockbroker. Types of stocks and which stock. Not all companies in your country are listed on the stock exchange. Typically, the largest companies in your country are the ones you'll find with their stocks listed on the local stock exchange. Your stock brokerage firm or the stock exchange itself can provide you with a list of the companies listed on your country's stock exchange if you wish. With the TDX system, we guide you to know the companies that are directly listed on the New York Stock Exchange so that you can actively participate. It's necessary to understand that there are three types of stocks. Common stocks, these are the ones I primarily recommend, as they are the stocks that have the right to voice and vote in the annual shareholder meeting of the company. With these stocks, you exercise and have the most important rights. The majority owners of companies hold these stocks since they allow them to express their power in the general shareholders meeting and receive their profits. Preferred stocks. These are a type of stock that pays a preferred dividend, meaning these shareholders have a preference in dividend payment. This dividend is called preferred because, in case the company is liquidated, the profits and assets will be distributed first to preferred shareholders. Similarly, when distributing dividends, it is the preferred shareholders who are paid first. This type of stock does not have voting rights. Preferred stocks. These are a type of stock that pays a preferred dividend, meaning these shareholders have a preference in dividend payment. This dividend is called preferred because, in case the company is liquidated, the profits and assets will be distributed first to preferred shareholders. Similarly, when distributing dividends, it is the preferred shareholders who are paid first. This type of stock does not have voting rights. In the New York Stock Exchange, stocks are classified as follows. Class A shares, these are the common shares of a company and have the highest voting rights. Generally, these shares are owned by founders, top executives, and other privileged investors. Class B shares, these are a class of common shares that generally have fewer voting rights than Class A shares. However, they may have other benefits, such as a higher percentage of dividends or a lower price per share. Class C shares, these are shares that have even further reduced voting rights than Class B shares. They are often issued to allow founders and executives to maintain control of the company while selling shares to the general public. In addition to common shares, there are other types of stocks that can be traded on the New York Stock Exchange, such as preferred stocks, which offer a fixed dividend and priority in case of liquidation. It's important to be familiar with the types of stocks. However, my recommendation is always to invest in common stocks since they are the ones with the most movement because they have voice and vote. With these stocks, in a shareholder meeting, you can speak and express your opinion. This will give you a strong sense of ownership in the company you are a part of. When you buy a stock, you are purchasing a paper or security. In this document, your shareholder rights are expressed. Since the movement of stocks is so dynamic, meaning they can be bought and sold quickly, it would be very difficult to physically deliver this security to each shareholder. Because of this, the dematerialization of securities was invented. All securities are held in a regulated entity we call the custodian of securities. There, the securities are securely stored in vaults, and when there is a change in ownership of the security, the custodian performs this change through an electronic record that certifies that the said share is now yours if you have purchased it. In the United States, there is the DTC, the Depository Trust Company, which is a custody and clearing company that provides services to financial institutions in the United States. As a central depository for securities, the DTC maintains electronic records of over 3.5 million different securities, including stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and other securities. The DTC acts as an intermediary between financial institutions, which means that when a securities transaction is conducted, the DTC transfers ownership titles of the securities from one account to another. The DTC also provides that the corresponding payment is made to both parties in a securities transaction. One of the main advantages of the DTC is that its electronic records allow investors to conduct securities transactions more efficiently and cost-effectively than if they had to do so through the physical issuance and transfer of ownership titles. Additionally, the DTC can facilitate the purchase and sale of foreign securities in the United States, enabling investors to access a broader range of investment opportunities. It is important to note that the DTC does not directly serve individual investors but works through financial intermediaries such as brokers and banks. Nevertheless, the DTC plays a significant role in facilitating the buying and selling of securities in the U.S. capital market, benefiting investors overall. The process of buying or selling a stock. Let's take the stock XYZ as an example. Depending on the appetite or disinterest in the stock, buy and sell orders are placed, which are respected through the first-in, first-out mechanism. Buy and sell orders are organized through an electronic system where purchases and sales are matched and executed. For example, when there is an equal price between the supply and the demand, a buying and selling transaction takes place. The price at which the transaction occurred is called the closing price. During the day, there can be many closing prices until the stock exchange concludes its operations for the day. This is where you should check the trading hours of the stock exchange where you are investing. In New York, it operates from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. New York time. The last price at which a transaction occurred during the day is called the daily closing price. This daily closing price can be recorded and saved day by day to create a chart and monitor the price behavior of the stock over the past days, weeks, months, or years. To monitor the stock market more effectively, technical analysis is used. The best way to avoid risks and maximize your profits is by monitoring the behavior of the stock you are investing in. Monitoring means keeping track of the stock, which is done through charts because a chart provides a visual idea of how your stock is performing in seconds. With the graphical movements of closing prices, we can determine whether our stock is rising, falling, or staying the same. Charts give us a general idea of the optimal level to sell or buy. In the historical daily graphical behavior of a stock, various factors are reflected, such as price behavior based on supply and demand, the behavior of speculators, the fair price of a stock based on the company's earnings health, and expectations for the company's future solid growth and profitability. For example, if we observe the behavior of a stock over the past 3 years, within the price fluctuations enclosed within an oval, we can see the volatility, price increases and decreases generated by speculators and the effects of supply and demand for the stock. If we view the ovals as the behavior of the stock from the perspective of investors who analyze the company's performance in terms of earnings generated. As financial results improve, a higher and higher staircase will continue to form. Stocks move in trends. Based on supply and demand, as well as expectations of the company's profitability growth, trends begin to form graphically. The analysis of charts is known as charting. From there, technical analysis is born, which involves analyzing charts with other specialized graphical tools that can help us make better decisions. Let's see clearly how we can make money in the stock market. Money in the stock market. The stock quotes of a company listed on a stock exchange can be seen every day in your country's financial newspaper or on the website of your country's stock exchange. There you can see the different companies listed on those stock exchanges. The daily price behavior marks a record every day. If we combine the recorded prices or the closing price of a stock on the stock exchange and draw it day by day, it will provide us with a graphical behavior. These charts help us analyze the stock's behavior and the trend it has been following. As we saw in the previous chapter, you make money when you buy a stock at a low price and sell it at a high price. In this price variation, we can determine the percentage change the stock had, and therefore how much we gained with the invested money. Let's look at an example. We buy a stock at $12.73, and this stock rises to $13.80 over the course of 8 days. The formula to calculate the percentage change is as follows. Selling price, purchase price, $100 equals percentage change. 13.80 to 12.73, 12.73, 100 equals 8.41%. This means that the percentage change over 8 days was 8.41%. If an investor had invested $1,000 during that 8-day period and had bought or sold at those prices, they would have received $1,084.10. In other words, they would have made a profit of $84.10 in 8 days. This percentage change over 8 days was 8.41%. 1,008.41% equals 84.10. Another way to calculate the profit is by taking the $1,000 to be invested and dividing it by the stock price. 1,012.73 equals 78.55, which gives us the number of shares purchased. In this case, we have 78.55 shares. When the price rises to $13.80, we sell our shares. That is, 78.55 shares, 13.80 equals $1,084. Generally, stocks declare dividends each year for each share owned by the shareholder. Let's assume that company XYZ declared $8 in dividends for each share held by the investor. In this case, the investor will receive a dividend amount. This amount is calculated as follows: shares owned dividends declared per share equals dividend earnings 78.55 times 8 equals $628.40. With this, we confirm that an investor can make money in stocks through dividends and through the appreciation of the stock's price. The importance of analyzing the chart behavior is of great help as a graphical reference for the behavior of a stock. The chart behavior provides us with a signal of how high or low the behavior of a stock may be relative to its past and can help us forecast future prices. The study of these chart behaviors is known as charting and is part of a type of graphical analysis called technical analysis, which adds to chart behaviors other charts based on results from some appropriate statistical studies to attempt to predict future price behavior. Below, we will look at the basic graphical aspects that should be managed when studying and analyzing a chart. Trend analysis. Bullish trend is considered bullish when, by drawing a straight line through the consecutive low points of a price range, we notice that the drawn line has an upward profile. A bullish trend is a clear signal that the price behavior will continue to maintain that trend for a while. The optimal level to buy in a bullish trend is the projected minimum point of the drawn line, as it functions as a rest level for the trend to resume its upward movement. If this entry level experiences a break below the trend level, it's possible that the trend has been broken and a new trend change has begun. Bearish trend. A trend is considered bearish when, by drawing a straight line through the consecutive high points of a price range, we notice that the drawn line has a downward profile. A bearish trend is a clear signal that the price behavior will continue to maintain that trend for a while. The optimal level to sell in a bearish trend is the projected maximum point of the drawn line, as it functions as a recovery level for the trend to resume its downward movement. If this exit or selling level experiences a break above the trend level, it's possible that the trend has been broken and a new trend change has begun. Channels. A channel can be either bullish or bearish and is formed similarly to bullish or bearish trends, with the only difference being that an additional projected line is drawn as the trend progresses and is projected towards the maximum or minimum levels depending on the type of trend we are talking about. Channels are used to project the upcoming price levels that a quote may reach within a certain trend. Triangles. Triangles form when there is market indecision about the direction a stock price should take. They are formed by consecutive highs and consecutive lows that end up forming a triangle. When a triangle is broken at its vertex, it will quickly take on a trend, which will develop on the side where the vertex was broken, extending this new trend rapidly. Closing price. The daily closing price is the last price at which the last stock trade of that particular stock was executed on that day. For example, stock XYZ could have traded during the day in a range of $12.10 to $12.70, but the last trade of the day was at $12.35. This would be the closing price and is the one that would be graphed on a daily basis. Japanese candlesticks. A Japanese candlestick shows us the maximum, minimum, opening, and closing prices of a specific stock on a given day. A white candlestick indicates that the closing price was higher, and a black candlestick indicates that the closing price was lower. Volumes. Volume levels, in the case of stocks, represent the amount of money traded for a single. In other words, it's the monetary value involved in the number of transactions that took place in the stock market for a particular stock on a given day. Buying and selling opportunities. Support levels are minimum levels marked on a chart that have proven difficult to break over time. Resistance levels are maximum levels marked on a chart that have proven difficult to break over time. The importance of support and resistance levels in charts lies in the fact that the difficulty of prices rising above resistance or falling below support can be used as buying or selling opportunities. Supports. In this case, a stock reaches a support level, the logical decision is to buy since it's very unlikely for the price to drop below the support level. In this case, you have the opportunity to buy at a favorable price and wait for the stock price to rise over time. However, if the price of an asset, in this case, a stock, reaches a support level and that support is violated or broken, the optimal decision is to sell because a significant decline in the asset is imminent. This occurs precisely because some unfavorable news or market conditions have become known to major shareholders, and they are willing to sell their assets. They are willing to sell their assets even below the support level. It should be clarified that this break should be accompanied by strong trading volume to confirm the strength of the support level break. In this case, a steep decline is inevitable, and this movement should be taken advantage of. Taking advantage of bearish trends or sharp declines to make profits. In some countries, short selling is permitted. Short selling is a strategy used to make money when the market is on a downward trend. A short sale transaction involves an initial sale, without owning the stock, at a specified price, where the market operator anticipates that the market will continue to fall. If the operator's expectation is met, it means that the price will be lower than the initial selling price. In summary, they sell the stock, which they don't own at that moment, at a high price and repurchase it at much lower prices than the selling price, thus making a profit. How can you sell a stock you don't own for a short sale? Typically, the stocks sold short are borrowed from a shareholder who does own the stock. The operator conducting the short sale pays a fee for the duration they hold the short position to the shareholder lending the stock. Resistance. When the price of an asset, in this case a stock, reaches a resistance level, the logical decision is to sell because it's difficult for the price to rise above that level. However, if the resistance is breached or surpassed, the optimal decision is to buy as a strong price increase is expected for the asset. This occurs because some favorable news or circumstances about the company or the market are known to major shareholders, and they don't hesitate to buy the asset at a price higher than the resistance level. It's important to clarify that this resistance breakout should be accompanied by high volume, confirming the strength with which it is exceeded. In this case, a price increase is imminent, and this movement should be capitalized upon. Technical analysis. Technical analysis involves statistical tools that use historical stock price behaviors as databases to create charts that can provide signals or patterns for making buy or sell decisions. There are many technical analysis tools, and it can be quite extensive. In my personal opinion, it should be studied and understood, but success as an investor does not solely depend on becoming a guru in technical analysis. There are extensive specialized books on technical analysis, but if you as a reader wish to delve into this topic, I advise you to do so with an attitude of increasing your knowledge and financial culture. That's why I will explain some basic technical analysis tools with their formulas and explanations. But don't worry about having to do calculations. Technical analyses come pre-designed and ready to view and interpret on various sources offered by stock exchanges on the internet or companies like Bloomberg and Reuters, among others, that specialize in providing technical analysis tools. You only have to look at them, analyze them, and interpret them. No calculations are needed. Relative Strength Index, RSI, is a technical analysis indicator that takes into account the volatility that a stock has exhibited in recent days to provide us with entry or exit signals from the market. Volatility is measured as the percentage change from the previous day to the next day. Averages are usually taken from the last 14 days. From the operations that had upward volatility and those that had downward volatility, averages are established, and the following formula is applied, which provides a net result. This result is graphed day by day. RSI equals 100 to 100, 1 plus average of gains, average of losses. RSI equals 100 to 100, 1 plus 0.95, 0.89 equals 51.6. It is assumed that when the indicator reaches levels below 30, these are buying levels because the relative strength of the volatility of that stock is reaching levels of negative percentage change, which are very attractive compared to the negative volatility in recent days. Similarly, when the indicator reaches levels above 80, these are selling levels because the relative strength of the volatility of that stock is reaching levels of positive percentage change, which are very attractive compared to the positive volatility in recent days. The recommendation when using this is according to the trend of the stock. In other words, if the trend is bullish, one should wait for the RSI to signal entry points. If the trend is bearish, one should wait for the RSI to signal exit points. Stochastics. It is a technical indicator that takes into account the highest and lowest prices of the asset's quotation, usually over the last 14 periods. These prices are compared against the closing price of the current day, which provides us with a result we will call K%. This result is graphed, forming a line.
Percent K equals 100x, K equals 100x, C, min, max, min.
There is another line that we graph, which we will call D%. This line is the average of the last 14 periods. Percent D is the moving average of percent K over a number of periods. When the indicator reaches levels below 30, and at these levels, the K percent line crosses the D percent line, we have a buy signal. This is because the closing price of that stock has reached the minimum levels of the last 14 days, indicating a possible turning point for the price to start rising again. This is confirmed by the crossing of the lines. Similarly, when the indicator reaches levels above 80, and at these levels, the K percent line crosses the D percent line, we have a sell signal. This is because the closing price of that stock has reached the maximum levels of the last 14 days, indicating a possible turning point for the price to start falling again. This is confirmed by the crossing of the lines. The recommendation when using this indicator is to make decisions according to the trend of the stock. In other words, if the trend is bullish, one should wait for the stochastic to signal entry points. If the trend is bearish, one should wait for the stochastic to signal exit points. Bollinger Bands. It is a technical indicator that takes into account the standard deviation of the average closing prices over the last 14 days of trading. The results of the calculations, when plotted, form bands around the asset's quotation. Upper band equals 14-day moving average plus standard deviation. Lower band equals 14-day moving average, standard deviation. When the asset's quotation reaches the levels of the Bollinger Bands, it should correct and return to the mean or middle point of the band, taking into account its behavior over the last 14 days. Check an oscillator. It is a technical indicator that takes into account the daily high price, low price, closing price, and volume of the asset's quotation.
Its goal is to provide more credibility to quotations that trade with significant volume, attempting to anticipate future price increases or decreases.
Although the following formula may seem complex, remember that charting systems calculate this for you. The following information is presented for theoretical understanding, and what's truly important is interpreting the chart as shown in the table. The formula for the Chaikin oscillator is Chaikin oscillator equals 3-day exponential moving average of accumulation slash distribution, 10-day exponential moving average of accumulation slash distribution. The accumulation slash distribution indicator is calculated using the closing price, volume, and the highest and lowest prices of the period, with the following formula. AD equals current close, periods low, periods high, current close, periods high, periods low, periods volume plus prior AD. The exponential moving average, EMA,
gives more weight to recent data. The 3-day EMA is calculated by summing the last three values of accumulation slash distribution and dividing by 3, and the 10-day EMA is calculated similarly but with the last 10 values.
The Chaikin oscillator results in a line that oscillates around zero and is used to identify potential changes in market trends. If the oscillator is positive, it indicates a net accumulation of money in the market, while if it is negative, it indicates a net distribution of money. Divergence analysis. When the Chaikin line is plotted, it exhibits a relatively similar behavior to the trends of the asset. When there's a divergence, meaning a trend different from that of the asset, it forecasts a change in the asset's trend. So, if the Chaikin oscillator's divergence is bullish compared to the asset's behavior, it implies that the asset will have an upward trend in the upcoming periods. Conversely, if the Chaikin oscillator's divergence is bearish compared to the asset's behavior, it suggests that the asset will have a downward trend in the upcoming periods.
The recommendation when using this indicator is to take advantage of bullish divergences in the Chaikin oscillator to buy and similarly, take advantage of bearish divergences in the Chaikin oscillator to sell the asset. Important technical analysis to make short-term buying and selling decisions for a stock. As an investor and considering that this book is aimed at investors, I recommend using technical analysis as a tool to establish optimal entry, buy, or exit, sell points in the market after determining the fair values of a stock when making an investment decision. The key to achieving profits and positive returns while avoiding losses is understanding the fair value of a stock, which is the fair financial value of the company. If you know this value, there's no need to worry because if the stock's market price significantly differs from the fair value, there's a great opportunity to make profit since eventually, the stock price will converge towards its fair value. I wondered what the fair value of a stock was because I wanted to stop speculating and find a sensible way to determine it, regardless of whether the market price reflects this value or not. If I can analyze the fair value of a stock, I could have an advantage over speculators, and in the long run the stock's market price should tend to converge towards its fair value. To illustrate how the value of a large company can be analyzed, I will use a simple and common example that can be understood with common sense on a small scale. The fair value of an asset is not necessarily determined by the amount of money invested in it. For example, let's analyze a restaurant. The value of the land, the building, and the interior furnishings of the establishment together do not necessarily determine the property's value. This could be the fair value if the business is not profitable, and the owner decides to sell it. Even if the business is not profitable, to sell this asset, the internal furnishings of the restaurant would likely need to be sold off, and the building and land would need to be sold at a slightly lower price to obtain cash as quickly as possible and recover the investment in this business. Suppose the value of this property is $50,000. Its fair value should be that. But the fair value of the establishment will change over time based on accreditation, the profits the business generates, and the consistency with which these profits are maintained over time. If the business's profits are $25,000 per year, it means the investment would be recouped in 2 years. After the second year, the business's profits will be free after deducting the maintenance costs. The question is, how much would you sell this business for now? Of course, it wouldn't be sold for the same price of $50,000. For the business owner, it's not attractive to sell it at that price because they know they would recoup that value in 2 years without having to sell the business. From this, it can be deduced that the fair value of an asset is determined by the business's profits, the consistency and growth of profits over time, the assurance that the business will endure over time, risk, the business's profitability, whether it is comparatively superior to other investment alternatives, and the cost at which the business was financed. If borrowed money was used to finance a portion of the asset, this should also be considered. These variables are found in the financially accepted and commonly used methods for valuing companies, such as the Capital Asset Pricing Model, CAPM, which is used to determine the fair value of an asset. The fair value of a stock. The value of any investment depends on the free income it generates. Put more simply, things are worth what they earn me. This makes a lot of sense in practical life. In financial terms, value equals free cash flow slash interest. This is the CAP formula where free cash flow is the actual free cash available to the company. To explain it more clearly, the difference between net profit, which we are accustomed to seeing in financial statements, and free cash flow lies in the fact that net profit is an accounting profit that does not reflect the actual cash the company can count on. Free cash flow, on the other hand, is the difference between net cash inflows and net cash outflows the company experienced, which means free cash flow shows us how much actual cash the company has on hand. Cash inflows minus cash outflows. With this result, shareholders can decide how much money to distribute among themselves as dividends, how much money to allocate for debt repayment, and how much money to invest back into the company to grow and generate better dividends in the future. Free cash flow can be calculated using the financial statements of the company to be analyzed in the following way. Operating profit, applied taxes, equals operating profit after taxes plus depreciation and amortization, equals gross cash flow increase in net operating working capital, increase in fixed assets, equals free cash flow. To use this free cash flow in favor of determining the fair price of a stock, it must be divided by the number of shares in circulation in the company's market. For the following examples, let's assume a free cash flow per share of $100. The interest rate in the valuation formula is the return rate that shareholders require for their investment. To calculate this interest rate, one must be prudent, sensible, and consistent because this single variable can significantly change the company's or stock's value. A high interest rate can reflect a lower company value, and a low interest rate can reflect a higher value, but even so, no value will match the market value at which the stock is trading. To determine the interest rate, you must determine the following: of the 100% value of the company assets, what percentage is financed with debt, liabilities, and what percentage is financed with shareholders' money, equity? The percentage financed with debt, liabilities, is calculated by multiplying the percentage financed with debt, the debt interest rate, and 1 tax rate. Similarly, the percentage financed with shareholders' money, equity, is calculated by multiplying the percentage financed with shareholders' money by the risk-free rate and a risk premium. The risk-free rate is the interest rate that an investor would earn without risking their money. This could be the interest rate paid by the central bank of a stable country. The risk premium is the interest rate that the investor would require in addition to investing their money, assuming the risk of a changing market, the risk of a specific economic sector, the risk of a country with more or less political or economic stability, or the risk of investing in a small company or a large and established one. For our example, let's assume a rent and a risk premium of 20%. 30%, 2% plus 20% equals 6.72%. 0.30, 1.02 times 1.20, 100 equals 6.72%. This 6.72% interest is the return required by the shareholder for financing 30% of the company's assets. The interest rate for valuing the stock is determined as follows: minimum interest required by liabilities plus minimum interest required by equity, 7.06% plus 6.60% equals 14.12%. If we compare this with the previous example, we would have 100, 0.1412 equals 708. Where 708 would be the fair value of the stock. If the stock prices on the stock exchange are higher than 708, there would be a selling opportunity. But if the stock prices on the stock exchange are lower than 708, there would be a buying opportunity. It's important to clarify that these examples are made assuming a constant free cash flow over time to perpetuity. However, for a much more accurate valuation, projections of future free cash flows for the company should be made. This is a much deeper analysis that requires time and expertise in these matters. As a reader, you can delve deeper into these topics as you prefer. However, this book is focused on providing key and practical guidelines for making sensible investment decisions. Also, keep in mind that the TDX system does this for investors in more than 3,000 stocks trading on the New York Stock Exchange. I will share with you an investment strategy based on the fair value of a stock that will be more practical, faster, sensible, and interesting when making decisions and will not require in-depth analysis that can take a long time, even months. Stocks to invest in. Next, we will use a strategy that allows us to compare the return of a stock versus the market's returns and thus make the most appropriate decision regarding which stocks to select for investment. Let's see how the process starts to achieve this. Using earnings per share, EPS, and the market price of the stock, we can compare the company's EPS in terms of the interest rate. Let's look at an example. EPS per share equals $100. Market value of the stock on the stock exchange equals $950. EPS percent of the company equals 10.52%. 100-950 equals 10.52%. This opens up a much broader path where we can compare this EPS percent with the risk-free rate in the market or even the real interest rate. This gives me a better instant analysis. This way, I can know how attractive my stock is today and can predict how attractive it might be in the future if I anticipate future interest rates in the economy. Example: EPS percent 2% risk-free return equals 4% spread or differential equals 6.26%, making the appropriate financial interest rate subtraction. This means that my stock is attractive by an additional 6.26% compared to the risk-free return. The wider the spread or differential, the more attractive my stock is in comparison. By analyzing this, we can also have a greater response when deciding to buy or sell a stock if there is an abrupt movement in interest rates in the economy, since this can make a stock more or less attractive. While analyzing the stock's profitability based on its free cash flow per share is very helpful, we must further adjust our analysis due to the annual price increase in the economy, consumer price index or CPI, and consider inflation. This way, we will know the real profitability that the investor earns in a year, discounting the price increase that we forecast may occur in the economy during the year, forecasted CPI or inflation target. How can we adjust our analysis considering inflation, CPI? First, we have to find the real interest rate or the rate of interest we will actually earn, because inflation will affect prices in the economy, and purchasing power will vary in the future. We do this by applying the following formula. Real rate equals 1 plus stock return, 1 plus CPI. This adjustment prevents us from making investments in the case of a negative real rate, which would tell us that the investment is not profitable compared to the price increase in the year. Considering the time value of money. When making investments, the investment risk or the risk premium of the investment must be taken into account. When valuing an asset or a company, a valuation rate is used, as seen in the valuation formula. Value equals free cash flow slash interest. The interest rate consists of the risk-free rate plus the risk premium. To be more specific, we will say that an investor will only invest if their real rate is positive, as a positive real rate does not necessarily lead to an investment decision. A cautious investor will consider their investment to be superior to the risk-free rate. Real risk-free rate equals 1 plus risk-free rate, 1 plus CPI. All of this is to tell you that you should only invest in stocks where the real rate of the stock is higher than the real risk-free rate. Invest if real rate stock greater than real risk-free rate. Do not invest if real rate stock less than real risk-free rate. This will provide you with security in your investment, since it is a concrete and secure basis for analysis. However, this does not mean that you should stop analyzing other variables, information, news, etc., as these additional variables can give us clues about how the company's free cash flows will be affected in the future. This is what we know as fundamental analysis. Fundamental analysis is the analysis of all internal and external variables, micro and macro news, that can affect the company's performance in the future. It's important to clarify that as shareholders, what we see as performance is an improvement in the company's free cash flow every year, which increases the value of our company and, therefore, our profitability as shareholders. Key aspects for strategic stock investing. Select the strongest companies in your country that are listed on the local stock exchange, with a history of consistent profits and a solid financial track record. From these, choose the top 20 companies based on their financial performance and study news about them in financial publications. Listen to opinions from others about these companies. From the top 20 companies, select three that have a real per share rate higher than the real risk-free rate. Compare the spread or differential between the real per share rate and the real risk-free rate. Remember that a larger spread makes the stock more attractive. Analyze how consistent or growing the free cash flows of the selected companies can be over time. Give priority to those showing stability and consistency in the future. When buying or selling the three selected stocks, use technical analysis as a key tool. Don't forget to constantly analyze your stocks. New opportunities to buy or sell other stocks may arise. Remember that you have the option to become a user of the TDX system to move directly into investing, since all these analyses contained in this TDX book are done automatically with real-time financial and economic variables. Investment psychology for. In this section, we'll discuss the mental synchronization required for success in business. Our minds are powerful, and we should use them to our advantage when engaging in business. When I talk about having a winning mental attitude, I don't mean relying solely on irrational desires. The way our minds and our human bodies work is naturally conditioned to protect us from any threats that may harm us. We can observe this in nature and among animals. For example, a chameleon changes its color to blend into its environment, making it less visible to predators. This means that its body protects itself from anything that could pose a danger. Danger generates a mental sensation we know as fear. The chameleon example is just one of many in nature that show how animals, and even humans, protect themselves from anything that might bring danger or fear to their minds. In many cases, this is a good thing. However, fear often hinders our ability to take action in life. This happens due to our natural instincts. Unfortunately, fear, while it may help preserve human life, can also be detrimental in our daily social, work, and business activities. Fear often stops us from taking even the smallest of risks. In the world of business, what sets winners apart from losers is the willingness to take risks. Those who take risks draw strength from a vital virtue to face them, and this virtue is called courage. Those who avoid risks hide in passivity and don't progress much in life. For many, the word risk is unpleasant to hear. However, you came into this world to be happy and to achieve your goals. What do you prefer, growing old without achieving your goals, not even trying, or not taking any risks? I believe it's the latter. I'm sure you'll give it your all and make bold and courageous decisions to achieve your goals. It's worth taking risks to achieve your life's goals. What I want to convey is that you can shape your mind to work in your favor and make the most of it in your daily life, business, and aspirations. Only the courageous can act despite feeling fear. A courageous person doesn't mean they don't feel fear, they do, just like anyone else. The difference is that the courageous person acts despite feeling fear. Nothing will stop them from reaching their goal. They are determined to win and achieve their goal despite fear. When you genuinely believe in something, your mind and your entire being start working to reflect the truth in your mind. That's why if your mind thinks decisively, "I will achieve it," your subconscious will say, "Yes, of course. It's true, I'm capable of achieving it." Fear-based arguments will be eliminated from your mind, and an attitude of courage will emerge, allowing you to achieve everything you set out to do. Many times in stock investments, your decisions can be influenced by your brain's programming. The difference between choosing a stock that appreciates significantly and one that appreciates little may depend on whether your brain is synchronized to act and achieve the goal or not. Investment psychology is a topic that is discussed more and more among investors who are active in the stock markets and are constantly involved in them. This is because the number of emotions a human being can experience in a day is incalculable, and this affects their reactions and, consequently, their decisions. Any person can be influenced by their emotions in the stock markets. All the facts, situations, attitudes, behaviors, and reactions we perceive daily enter our brain through our liminal system first. The liminal system in the brain is the one that perceives and feels all emotions, such as joy, sadness, anger, euphoria, panic, ecstasy, and more. After passing through our liminal system, this perceived information finally reaches our rational center, where we make sensible and rational decisions. Knowing this, we can understand that a significant percentage of market participants will act or react according to the sensation they are experiencing at that moment. For example, if an investor hawk, and the market starts rising strongly, they feel joy at the prospect of making a profit. As they continue to profit, their first question is, "At what point should I sell and take a profit?" While they ponder this, the market keeps rising but hasn't yet reached the selling point they have in mind. This leads to a second and third question: "What if the price doesn't reach my selling level? Should I sell now and at least make some money?" While they consider this, the price reaches the level at which they intended to sell. Here comes the fourth question with a phrase: "But what if it goes up further?" As they think this, the market rises even higher than the price at which they plan to sell and does so forcefully. At this point, an emotion emerges. They do sell, but they still see the market going up. So the investor wonders how much they would have earned. At this point, the investor experiences a strong emotion called euphoria and may argue that they should buy and risk some of their profits. The investor buys again, but after buying, the market starts to plummet, much faster than it rose. At this point, the investor panics and sells. We've seen in this example an investor completely controlled by emotions. The results are disastrous. This is why it's necessary to analyze the market and your own emotions psychologically, so you can act rationally regardless of what's happening during the most volatile moments in the market. Investment strategy leveraging market psychology. Leverage euphoria and panic. Stock markets always fluctuate. Capitalize on others' emotions and be less emotional and more rational. This means buying at the height of panic and selling at the height of euphoria. Let's look at the emotional moments in the market graphically. As we've studied, stocks have a fair price based on the company's earnings and performance each quarter or year. Depending on the company's performance, the stock price needs to align with the fair value based on the company's financial performance. However, many investors or market speculators aren't concerned with the fair value of the company. They are only interested in buying and selling at different levels to take advantage of price valuations in their favor, causing price movements with high volatility. In the chart, we can observe various price fluctuations. the price of a stock should tend to its fair value based on the financial performance of the company at that moment. However, speculators within the market can drive prices beyond their fair levels. This is due to the heightened levels of emotions perceived by market buyers and sellers. This leads prices to reach extreme levels of panic as well as extreme levels of euphoria. However, sooner or later, prices will tend to settle at the fair level after such volatility. A savvy investor leverages market emotions to buy at maximum panic levels and sell at maximum euphoria levels, taking advantage of excellent returns while the stock price returns to its fair value. The clearest, safest, and simplest way to invest in the stock market is to start now. I offer you two options for doing so. The first is to find out the name of the stock exchange in your country and contact a brokerage firm. There are many of them, so choose the one that makes you feel most comfortable and offers good service. Speak with an advisor. Request all the technical analysis tools and charts they can provide, as well as detailed information about different companies. The second option is to use the TDX system, a comprehensive system that guides you to take action from the very beginning, turning you into an effective investor in the stock market from scratch. This system does not discriminate based on investment amounts and tells you exactly what to buy and sell each month. It offers the best combination of maximum profitability and minimum risk. The system has been researched and tested for years, allowing you to act optimally and effectively in the stock market from day one. For more information, visit www.tradingdesk.us. If you already have the system, congratulations. Otherwise, I invite you to take advantage of it because the system summarizes and applies all the theory outlined in this book and much more, delivering results for you to invest boldly, effectively, and in three simple steps. On the website, you will find information and videos to start achieving results today.